I am happy to shine the light of love on each of you under the sound of my voice today, wherever you might be. Hello, my name is Sally Ann House, and I am your host for Self Love Now. And I'd like to give thanks to Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people, for making this a possibility tonight. And I'd like to also add that we are a profanity-free station. Okay, we have a great show for you today. I am looking forward to sharing with you the name of our guest and her topic. And but before I do that, for those of you who do not know who I am, other than you know my name now, I'm Sally Ann House, but I am going to share a little bit of information with you about myself. I would first like to tell you that I have three parents. I was born to my dad, my mother, and my grandmother. I am named Sally with an I-E after my grandmother. And these were my three parents. And when I was born with a midwife and a delivering doctor, they all agreed that I should be referred to as Sally Ann, and that's how I should answer. So after dropping it for a number of years, since I have been doing this show, I decided to put Ann back and to be referred to as Sally Ann. So that's where I am, and that's who I am. So during my early birth, my parents, my dad, my mother, and my grandmother stood in front of the Reverend Gupple, the minister of our church, and witnessed with the congregation, with them introducing me to the God within me. And I am so pleased to know that my dad was caring enough to make sure he saw that done and had that done. However, timing is everything. When I was 7 months old, my dad was stricken with a heat stroke. And as he lay in his last hours of life, he gave the upbringing and the responsibility of my life to his mother-in-law, my mother's mother, my grandmother. She said she assuredly said yes to him, and she lived for 22 years of my life and keeping her promise to my dad. I personally do not have any regrets of any hour of a day or time that I spent with her. But she and my mother became two strong parents to me and my siblings in our development. And we are all very proud and pleased of the work that they put into us and the results. So there you go. You know a little bit more about who I am, and I thank you for that. And I really want to go now and talk to you about tonight's guest, or to this evening's guest. Hello, and I have wanted to give my thanks and appreciation again to Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people, for this opportunity. And now, without further ado, let me tell you that we have a great person here who works in the mental health field and who has seen all avenues of that life and how it can affect another person or others. And she's going to talk to us. Let me tell you something about her. First of all, she graduated from Thomas University with a bachelor's in criminal justice, a master's in clinical rehabilitation counseling in mental health. She is a certified alcohol and drug counselor, too, and a licensed professional counselor. She has worked as a correctional officer for 15 years and a therapist for 6 years. Is she sharp and got a lot going on or not? I tell you, she does, and it is such a pleasure to have her speak with us today about Black love. And how do we heal from here? Listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, may I take this moment to introduce to you our guest, Kelly Dix. Kelly, would you just jump right in and add to where I've left off, please?
Yes, thank you for the wonderful introduction. And I just want to say that I am originally from North New Jersey. I was born and raised there and graduated from high school at Essex County Vocational Technical High School. So I traveled some, not much, but wind up in Thomasville, Georgia, and that's where I received my college education. But during the process of living, I haven't lived a long time, but to some I have. I've always heard, seen a discussion about Black love and Black community, and it was always directed in an intimate way. You know, how do we, you know, what is Black love and how do we improve it or not just improve it, but just have it in general.
Mm-hmm.
And but what they fail to realize that Black love has many facets mm-hmm. within the title alone. Black love is community. It is friendship. It is being a good neighbor, being a good stranger, an acquaintance, a friend. And, you know, from the very beginning, from as a baby to grown up to an adult, Black love exists in all areas of life. Mm-hmm. And in the course of from the time from slavery up until this day, Black people have faced some horrendous adversities, and the survival of it. First of all, I just want to say Black love never never diminished. It was never gone. It was just not displayed in the most powerful way. I do want to say that.
Okay.
If you think about the times in the past of when Black people came together and made significant movement, and the most that was so heavily taught was the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
In order for that to happen, you had to have love for one another. If we look at 2020 and what people have done all over the world to rally against the brutality against Black people, it was powerful. It was moving, you know. But the intentions was to most people that this is wrong and this is what we need to do and this is inhumane. However, when it came to us as a people, we've been treating each other this way for many, many, many years. That's why it's high crime and most poverty-stricken communities. But to identify about Black love is definitely we have to look at it in a more simpler form.
Mm-hmm.
In order for us to overcome what's going on now, because 2020 is over. It seems like I'm not saying the movement is over, but it is not as loud as it was last year. And so not saying that it's nothing going on and not the community is not working. I don't believe that. I see a lot of positive things going on in this change. I see a lot of changing. But what I don't see is that how we are not loving ourselves, we're not caring for ourselves, that we are out searching for intimate relationships, having someone to complete us, or we're searching for happiness, we're searching for purpose. And that is just a lack of self-love. And I believe that...
Is that because we're looking for it outside of ourselves?
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, please. Excuse me.
No, go ahead. I'm glad you said that because I didn't want to dance around it, and that's always been the problem for us, wanting acceptance, having the desire of having someone to hold on to for security, for strength, for love, and everything that is needed is within us. And this don't have anything to do with education. This is all about life experience and things that I have seen and people who I've talked to. Like, mind you, I've worked in a prison for 15 years. I was a correction officer, and I also was a detail officer. Mm-hmm. So I used to take the inmates out to the courthouse and the health department, and they would do custodial work for free. They did not get paid. In Georgia, inmates who work do not get paid. So here it
now,
is.
Now, let me ask you, was that by choice or was that a part of the system?
That was part of the system.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, please.
So as part of the system, when I was a detail officer, the prison, it was known as the prison camp. And all the inmates that that lived there in the prison, they were to work. It was a working prison camp. They would go out and work. They would do road and construction, custodial work, whatever that a citizen would go out and do and get paid for, they would do it. And not get paid for it.
Right.
But I didn't have a problem with that, to be honest with you, because a lot of these men never had a skill, never been taught anything, never had any structure, you know, never had a job. So, and some of them were young and some of them were older. Some men were older than me and never had a job. Their life was sticking with either mental illness or substance abuse. So for them to come to this prison and learn a skill, but not only just a skill, but know how to be cordial in public, how to be professional, how to do a job well, how to take pride in themselves and their self-care, grooming, you know, hygiene, And of all the years that I've worked as a correction officer, I believe that being a detail officer was my favorite.
Really?
Yes, and the reason why, not because I was the boss, because I was able to coach them in how to be professional. How to talk professionally with others, how important it is to represent themselves and not, because all the men wore inmate uniforms. And I used to tell my men, they already know you are a prisoner. I said, show them the man. You know what I mean?
So, I like that.
Yes. And to pay to give, to pay homage to them, is that what I gave them, what they gave me back was, you know, a peace of mind, because during all my years of going to school, I studied while I was working. So they would make sure things were quiet so I can, you know, study and stuff like that. So I do give some credit to the men that was at the prison that allowed me, and when I say allowed, that is the truth, because there's no, it's not a babysitting job. There's no babies in prison. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like I said, they allowed me to have a peace of mind to study. And that is part of self-love, and that's part of Black love, because what they saw in me, they saw in themselves, and that was hope. I know we didn't talk about that, but it had to be some type of internal love for them to even grant me that peace, that time. Them having an organization among themselves to govern themselves, whereas I don't have to, and I can focus on, you know, on my studies. And sometimes it could have been selfish, like, as long as she's studying, she ain't bothering us. But how,
right?
It all came out into a positive. And in turn, I gave as well, because, you know, I provided a safe place, you know. And how did I do that? By making sure everything was in order, always being consistent and being fair, and also being firm. So so by me governing them in that aspect, they had a peace of mind. But where'd that come from? That's not come from job, because there's a lot of people who have jobs and job skills and apply them how they want to. But because of my self-love and what I want and what I like is order and peace, it reflected with them, and in turn, they gave it to me. Do I make sense?
Yes, and what a compliment that was to you from them.
Absolutely. So although we were in a hostile, a potential hostile environment, an environment that is designed to be hateful and chaotic, the peace that we had within ourselves, the desire, because all that comes from desire, you know, of what you want.
Yes.
And when you focus on the things that you need in the moment you're in, and for them it was, here it is, I'm in prison, I am locked away from society, and you know, it can be very stressful. So, but I know when Miss Dix come on, she ain't gonna have all this loud talking and all. You know what I'm saying? So, and at the same time, I know when I come to work in this particular door, I know I don't have to worry about too much nonsense. You know what I'm saying?
Because they were showing you respect as well.
Right, but in order to give respect, you have to have respect for yourself. And a lot of times, we lose focus in it.
Right.
Especially
may I take a moment and reintroduce you to our listening audience in the event that somebody else has joined us since we got started? I would like to say that you are listening to Self-Love Now, and I am your host, Sally Ann House, and we come to you through NIA2X Radio, the voice of the people, and we come to you as without profanity. And to guest speaker that we have is speaking about Black love, and she's And I want you to hear as much of this as you can, because she's explaining love beyond the intimacy that we often look at love with. And we are speaking with and is our beautiful Kelly Dix, who is in the mental health profession. And we are going to get right back to her and let her continue to express what she has learned, what she has observed, and what she has experienced in the Black community regarding self-love. Okay, Kelly, thank you.
Thank you. I've given those examples because often when you talk about men and women relationship, it's always on an intimate level.
Mm-hmm.
But in my experience in the prison, what I've experienced is more of it was different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Love was about respect. It was about encouragement. It was about, because although they didn't say, yay, mistakes, they didn't do nothing, they didn't rally, they didn't cheerlead, but to provide that peace is encouragement. It is mm-hmm. saying, yeah, go ahead, sister, you go ahead. And they would say little funny stuff like, oh, I pray that you hurry up and graduate. And hurry up and get up out of here, because, I was known as one of the strict ones. But I got it. I got the subliminal messages and everything.
Right.
But we need to... We need to do that more often, because I am a stranger to them. They do not know me on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hear you.
They are a stranger to me. And not only that, my known fact is that they are incarcerated not for singing in a choir, and some of them are in there unjustly. That's true. And
that's
many
true.
Many of them. And many of them as well.
Right.
Has a long history of criminal activity. So, however, I'm still a stranger.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Two questions. Are they all that you work with over that 15-year period, are they all still incarcerated, or have some of them made it out on the outside world?
So
do you know?
I've worked with two levels of prison. One is minimum security,
uh-huh.
and the
okay.
other one was close security. Close security is next to maximum security.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
So some men are in there for life, and
mm-hmm.
some I've worked with them, and some of them should be out of prison, and some of them are living out of prison and are productive in their family lives and in the community. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you another question, because I am researching things like this, and I'm so happy for this moment when you talked about those that are lifers. I'm reading something that is, and I'm not sure if it's just state of Maryland with the state's attorney's office, but where they are trying to make sure when inmates or incarcerated people are reaching age 60, that it makes no sense to keep them behind bars.
Hmm.
And so now I don't know how enforced that is. I don't know how wide range that is. Is that hmm. something you could speak on as well?
Well, currently I can't. I have been out of the correctional
okay.
system, since 2015.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But this is what I can speak on.
Uh-huh.
And this is current. I know in Georgia and in Florida, they are trying really hard to prepare the men by providing different services,
uh-huh.
prepare them before they are released. You know, they have programs like educational programs, and those who had some background and substance use or like even just drug trafficking as well, they have a program inside the prison, rehabilitation.
Oh, really?
Yes. Some programs are better than others. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of
mm-hmm.
them, it's just, you know, they can do better. That's for sure.
Right.
However,
right.
there is an effort. And matter of fact, I used to work in one 9 months. I only did 9 months.
Okay.
Program in Florida.
Okay.
It was just too stressful for me. And I can see it was stressful for the inmates because although they were trying to be clean and get back on track in the right direction,
mm-hmm.
you know, prison still is a different world. It's still, you know what I'm saying? It's still,
mm-hmm.
they still have to live. So the same struggles that they face, you know, in the free world, they face inside the prison. So
mm-hmm.
that could be a very big struggle within itself. And I think mentally I just couldn't handle it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and unfortunately, that's a problem that we've had for years, and it still exists. So
yeah.
I can understand how your need to be out of that was important to you. But so what? Where did you go from there? And
so
in terms of your work, you know.
Right. So 2015, I graduated with my master's, and I was like, bam, I'm done with the prison. I didn't even go into the office. I called the warden, and I said, hey, I'm just letting you know. I'm putting my 2 weeks notice in. I was so ready to get up out of there. And then I worked at a private company
mm-hmm.
working with children. And it just wasn't a good fit for me. The company that I worked for wasn't a good fit for me. So I found a job as a counselor, an addictions counselor in Jefferson CI and in Monticello, Florida. And it was new, but I had the correction officer mentality, and I felt like I couldn't be an efficient counselor without being the correction officer. So it was a battle. You know what I'm saying? It
yeah.
was a battle. And it was very hard for me to juggle because in my mind, I need to have order in order for us to work things out. And so it was always a struggle to have this order. And then we can do some therapy, but it did, you know, they didn't see me as an authoritative figure. I didn't have the uniform on. So
mm-hmm.
it was always a struggle about, you know, their boundaries and always had to correct them, you know what I'm saying, instead of working with them through their thing. So I didn't last, 9 months. I was like, this is not for me. You know, you're not ready. You're not
mm-hmm.
ready, so I'll meet you outside, you know.
Okay, so in other words, see you.
Yeah, I see you, you know. I'll be out here somewhere in somebody's treatment facility when you're ready. But here goes the black love, the self love too, because when I left, This is when I knew that you cannot judge a person at face value all the time because it's a defense mechanism. And this is when I started understanding the education of substance abuse and mental illness. Because when I put my 2 weeks notice in and the men that was on my caseload at the prison, when they knew that I was leaving, I had a 78-year-old man literally cry, and he could not speak English. He could not read English, and he cried, and I had someone translate it for him. He spoke Spanish. He was from Cuba, and he was like, "Thank you for trying to help me," you know?
Yeah.
What I used to do, I used to type whatever I need to say to him in Google, and Google would translate it into Spanish.
Uh-huh.
But then I found out he couldn't read it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he couldn't read, you know. So I
right.
had someone to translate it for him. And so we would do exercise that way, you know. But it was... First of all, it was the love that I had for people in need, and for him to tell me, to have really felt that, and to tell me, you know, tearfully, thank you. It was like, oh my God, like I didn't know you cared. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
isn't
yes.
that something? What a difference you were making.
But. That's the whole point. You just don't know what difference you're going to make in someone's life. So it's not about notoriety. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It is
That's
about,
true.
It is about your intentions and how you're feeling. And I couldn't give that if I didn't have any type of self-love, because I don't care who it is or what they look like, you should always take a moment and say, well, what if that was me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How would I want to be looked at and treated?
That's right.
And that's part of how I'm able to definitely work in this field, because you have to love with no judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you feel like it's a failure or they a failure, it still should be no judgment.
I hear you.
Yeah. I know I can keep running and running, so you won't have to stop me when you want to stop me. You know?
No. Well, I will. We are going to be coming up to a station break in a moment. But I'm loving this, because it's what you're saying is it really doesn't matter. And I'll share with you what I used to do on the streets when I worked in downtown D.C. I had more homeless people on the street that were my friends that I knew what to do with. And sometime I would take them to lunch at an open place, you know, like those open lunch rooms where there are several different types of restaurants. And sometimes they wouldn't want to wait on them. They would tell them to get out of line, and I would want to know why. I said, because I'm paying for them. And and they would say something like, you're paying for them? And yes, the answer is yes. And so that's how I was raised, just like what you're talking about now, is that you show your love and your compassion for another person, no matter where it looks like they've been, or doesn't matter where it looks like they're coming from. They are still a human being with feelings just like everybody else. So I want to compliment you on that and let you know I understand it because I've walked that path on the streets helping people in my lifetime, and I still like to do it. Now, we have gone into the station break that was coming up. So if you will sit tight, I'm going to let our audience know that we are going to take a station break, and we will be back with Kelly Dix to finish our topic here. So just sit tight, please, and thank you.
All right. Have you heard? Have you heard our brother Charles Sifford was the first black man who won the United Golf Association's National Negro Open 6 times to include consecutive wins from 1952 to 1956? Charles Sifford, indeed, was actually the first brother to play on the PGA Tour. He won consecutive wins from 1952 to 1956. You know, Tiger Woods said Sifford paved the way for his career. Sifford turned pro in 1948, but black golfers were excluded from competing in the PGA Association at that time. You know, it was the great jazz band leader, Billy Eckstine, who was among the first to sponsor Charles Sifford's career. And now, here is the exclusive game from Neo2X Radio, the voice of the people, and it's called Listen Up. Now, we have $25 to give to the first caller who gets our question correct. Which show did radio host Sally Ann House say on her show, which is titled Self-Love Now? Which show did Sally Ann House say the following statement? Listen up. If my grandmother said it was raining cats and dogs, I didn't have to look out the window to see if it was raining cats and dogs. Now, did Sally Ann House say that on her September 30th, 2021 show, or did she say it on her October 7th, 2021 show? Now, listen up. Call in on her live show to answer the question, and that is on Thursday, October 21st, 2021 at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. At the end of this show, we'll give you the number to call in. You have a whole week to get the answer, and the first person to get the answer correct, pick up your money, honey. That's right. All right, we're going to go back to this powerful program with your radio host and mine, Sister Sally Ann House with Self-Love Now.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, and I hope everyone has returned to continue to pick up where we left off. And if someone has come in since that time, let me just repeat that you are listening to Sally Ann House, host of Self Love Now, and we are produced by Neo2X Radio, the voice of the people, and we are a profanity-free show. And I want to say, in addition to that, that I would like to invite you to be with me next week when I am hosting my show on October the 24th at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. The guest speaker for that show is Henry Thurman. We invite you to come out and join us and see what Mr. Thurman has to say. But now I want to take you back to the very dynamic Kelly Dix, who is sharing some powerful information with us. Kelly, would you pick it up again, please?
I said a lot, and I mostly was talking about prison, but that's where learning the dynamics of, you know, with the lack of love, not only for each other, but for ourselves, really began, because I did a lot of research and I did a lot of papers, and I was able to interview the inmates and hear their stories. And one of the things that impacted me was the history of low self-esteem and lack of self-love, and how that impacts on their daily living and their relationships with their parents or their siblings, or not only that, their own children. And it just seems like it is so common to not have this love for one another. And it was like, I was thinking, like, why and where and why isn't this happening? And we just can't blame slavery anymore. I mean, me and you talked about that last night.
Yes.
You know, we can't continue to use that as a as an excuse of why we are not more protective and more you know, just in the workspace, just being kind to each other, or labeling each other, or, you know, some people, if they go through something at home and they're jerks at work, and everybody asking, you know, wondering why she's like that, you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
You know, but instead of wondering why she's like that, asking her, is this, can I help you? Are you okay? You just automatically feel like, oh, she just, you know, whatever name you want to call it. And that's not love, you know? Would you want that to happen to you if you're going through something? But we really need to check ourselves and govern ourselves and really do some soul searching. And that's why I said the question was, well, how do we heal from all the hatred that has been poured on us and into our environment? Because if you were born in hate and your environment is about hate, what do you think you're going to be doing? You're going to be hating. Mm-hmm. So how do you get yourself out of that? You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's, first of all, you have to acknowledge, like, this doesn't feel good. I don't want this. And then you have to seek help somewhere. And a lot of times, and I'm going to tell you, you know, we're guilty of this, black people. If we seek help, just for instance, if we go to this preacher and we seek help for him, but what he's saying and what he's doing is not resonating with us, it's not helping either. Mm-hmm. We continue to stay and see maybe one day it'll work, or we stop going, period, and then we don't search anymore.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we're conditioned to do in all areas in our lives. So I feel like if you seek for help and it's not working, communicate that. If it doesn't get better, then search somewhere else. But you don't stop. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what we're guilty of is that what we do profess is that if we are feeling physically unwell or not healthy, we'll take ourselves to a doctor.
Right.
But it's taboo that if we're feeling something emotionally or mentally, that we would go see a professional in that field, a therapist, a psychologist, or a coach or someone, because that it is taboo. Black folk don't feel like they should go somewhere for somebody to help them fix what's going on in their head.
Absolutely.
But they will go to a doctor. I don't know how they don't see that they're one and the same.
Right.
Tell me what you think.
I do agree with you. And also not only that, I felt like, you know, just knowing now that was a defense mechanism,
mm-hmm.
just saying
mm-hmm.
that because I believe that inside they knew they need help, but they couldn't
mm-hmm.
afford it. So to deflect the true feeling, you just say, I don't need them to try to fix what's going on in my head, because
mm-hmm.
it's not that they didn't need it and they really didn't want it. It is because they couldn't afford it and they could not see them paying somebody, you know, to help something
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
it's out of conversation. It's nothing physically
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
they can change.
Right. Now, I have another question, and I hate to put this on you, but do you think, and excuse me, because I'm listening to you and I'm loving all of this, what do you think in terms of Black people getting professional mental help? Are there adequate numbers of people or professionals who can really help us? Do you think, or is there a shortage of people who are really equipped to understand what it is that we as Black people go through mentally?
You know, I would say like years ago there wasn't enough people of color that could relate to the struggles that people of color was going through, because
mm-hmm.
we had so many dynamics to our ailments that
mm-hmm.
not just to discredit any other race, but let's just keep it real and simple. You know,
mm-hmm.
how many other races have endured hundreds of years of oppression on top of
mm-hmm.
daily
Hello.
Struggles, you know? So, but now I can say, and I don't know statistically, that there are more people of color that's in the mental health field,
mm-hmm.
Social work, which is great. And when I say people of color, I'm talking about Latinos as well as as Blacks. Now, in this area, the area I'm in, I haven't seen any Asians, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. But in my area, I don't see too many. But it is needed. It's a growing population now.
Right.
People of color is seeking help, not only for substance abuse, but for a mental illness or mental disorders. I think that the main media, Black people, are making it okay for people to seek assistance. And what I love about it is that they're learning that the majority of the issues starts within, and not putting themselves first and not caring about themselves and loving themselves. Because once you love yourself, and I'm not saying that that's the cure, but once you have some love for yourself,
mm-hmm.
that you start making different decisions for yourself.
Absolutely.
And that makes a big difference. And the people that you choose to have around you is definitely going to reflect reflect the love that you have for yourself.
And
that's and why
that is so that is so important. Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's why I was just saying black love starts from within, and mm-hmm. The healing starts from within.
That's true. And so that's where we are going to start with it. And so this is how we should suggest and recommend, you know, friends or people who might be going through something, just even to ask them, have they stopped to look inwardly yet? What do you know about what's happening within you? So what is the best and easiest way we can help by approaching someone to guide them in the direction that you are talking about?
I definitely feel like if you feel some type of uneasiness, whether it's like anxiousness or depression or you're just angry all the time, you don't know why. Sometimes mm-hmm. you get angry at the smallest things. Anger is a second emotion, and so there's mm-hmm. something deeper going on, then that you should seek help. If you are a person and you see this one particular person, and we all have them walking up and down the street, and we all know what they're possibly to be doing, either they're homeless or they have substance abuse. Ask them, are you okay? I mean, can I help you today? Or, you know, a lot of times they say, no, I'm good. But then mm-hmm. there may be a time you run into somebody and say, yes, I need help. That has happened. I just came from a conference where a young man said that he was on heroin really bad, and he literally, his purpose was to OD and die. And he tried several times, and he would they would bring him back to life in the ER,
wow.
and he'd go back out and use again because his goal was to die and never did. And the nurse said, you know, God loves you, and for some reason he said at that moment he changed his life. He's a very successful man now. He's
mm-hmm.
on television. He's an anchorman in Arizona. I wish I knew his name. Forgive me, please. But he's an anchorman on television, and
mm-hmm.
He's very successful, and he goes to different conferences, and he speaks about his addiction and his self-loathing and his low self-esteem and how he built his life. You know, and it started with self-love. And in turn, he was able to help many other people and start a rehabilitation center. And that's what needs to happen among our small communities.
Impressive.
Definitely. We have to not only work on ourselves, but we also have to reach out to each other. In kindness,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
in kindness,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
As simple as that, yes.
Yeah.
I'll share with you before we get too close to shutting down. I had a friend that we were friends for years, and she was pushing her son in a direction where he would have a dislike for his father. Because the mother and father separated when he was quite young. And so she was teaching him that the father really didn't care about him and whatever and whatever. So I suggested, you know, that maybe you might want to seek counseling, the two of you and your son together. So we were meeting for dinner. When the son showed up, she said, guess what Sally said to me? She said, we are crazy. And I said, I never used that word. And she said, well, I don't know what the difference is if I have to seek therapy or a counselor. It sounds like you're saying my son and I are crazy. Now, we have remained acquaintances over the years, but mm-hmm. that I was so surprised by because we had been friends for so many years, and I thought that she would understand I would not be making a suggestion to her that would indicate mm-hmm. that she was not stable or that her mm-hmm. son was not stable. But looking at where life is going to take them in the future. So I asked you that question, and that was a reason. I wanted to see what you had to say about it because I experienced it. And I could not believe when her son showed up. She said immediately, guess what Sally said about us? She said, we are crazy. So sometime you can reach out and extend, you know, yourself yeah. or make a suggestion, but it will mm-hmm. not go over well.
But you planted the seed, though.
That's
planted the seed because when I thought that I was spinning my wheels with a person who did not speak English, mm-hmm. couldn't read English or Spanish, and mm-hmm. And here it is, I'm spinning my wheels, but I'm making an effort. And but even though he probably wasn't resonating what I was saying, but the idea of me wanting to help or show an effort of helping, I planted the seed. And I don't know what's the results of it, and it's probably not for me to know anyway. But
right, that's right. That, yes, that you made that effort and put something out there. Well, I agree with you, and I'm so glad that we've had this time together. I'm going to speak one more time to our audience before we close and remind them that I am Sally Ann House, and I am your host for Self Love Now. And that we are meeting this evening with Kelly Dix. And before I close, I would like to say again, we are profanity free. I think that is important for anyone who might be seeking, listening to us or working with us, that that's the stand that we take. But we have Kelly Dix in mental health therapist, if you will. And Kelly, what else would you like to add, and how would you like to close us out this evening?
So I just want to say that therapy works. I mean, I'm a therapist. I need mm-hmm. a therapist. No doubt about mm-hmm. it. A therapist needs a therapist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Therapy is self-care. And throughout the process of my years of working with people, I really learned more about myself as I work with people. And I have unpacked a lot of things about me, and I've learned to love myself. I thought, you know, you always think you love yourself, but if you really assess you, in mind, body, and spirit, and mm-hmm. if there's something lacking in any of those three areas, then you need to concentrate more on those areas, and that is self-love. And once you have love, you project love, and in turn, mm-hmm. love comes back to you. That's it.
That's true. And so, and you love how many children of your own?
I have 4 children. I have 3 grandchildren. My youngest grandchild is 4 years old, and my oldest grandson is 13.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. how fortunate they are to have you in their lives. And so I know you've mentioned you had children, so I thought, how many children do you give love to? So you have the grands, and you have how many offsprings?
Oh, I have four. My oldest is 33, and my youngest is 21.
Wow. And you sound 21 right? yourself. Excuse me, but that is a compliment.
Thank you.
Is a compliment. I don't want that to come be heard and misunderstood. Well, listen, I want to say you've done a beautiful job. I do compliment you on flexibility. I compliment you on stick-to-itiveness. And I also give high marks to you for being committed and for the number of years that you have been in this field. And I want to thank you again so much for having come to us today on the Near 2X Radio, the voice of the people, with Sally Ann House as the host of Self Love Now. I want you to take good care of yourself. I want you to promise you'll come back again.
I'll be better prepared, I promise.
Okay. All right, then. So we're about to close, and I thank you again, and a lovely rest of the day to you. All right.
Thank you.
Bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you've been listening to Self Love Now with your radio host and mine, Sister Sally Ann House. And as promised, we have the rules and the telephone number again for you to call, because you have an opportunity to win the $25 by calling in live next Thursday, October 21st, 2021 at 11 a.m. on Sally Ann House. Now, call this telephone number, answer the question, did Sally Ann House say on her radio show, or which date did Sally Ann House say the following? If my grandmother said it was raining cats and dogs, I didn't have to look out the window to see if it was raining cats and dogs. Did Sally Ann House say that on September 30th, 2021? Or on show October 7th, 2021. So listen up right here on Near 2X Radio. Hear the shows. You have an entire week, 7 days, to call in next Thursday on October 21st and answer the question live. Now, this question started today, October 14th. And all persons affiliated with VLB Productions is prohibited from participation. Other rules and restrictions may apply. Thank you for listening. Keep it right here on Near 2X Radio, the voice of the people, 24/7, profanity-free, and we do it all for you.